Libby Gore on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
We did have a conversation the other day about couples that aren't used to being in each other's spaces and how you recalibrate your relationship to being with each other 24/7 in the house, seeing a lot of each other without the other little emotional refuges that we all have in terms of friends and sporting events. If you are in a relationship, how are you coping with that? Because it can be hard. Richard Chambers, who is a clinical psychologist.
Hi, Libby.
Where have you been?
I've been on a meditation retreat in my own house.
Oh.
And I'm literally breaking silence to come on your show.
Well, I am grateful. Someone sent me a text. Everyone's getting a bit tetchy, I have to say, Richard. People are sending some random texts that haven't got a nice tone. And I'm not going to repeat them because I've breathed. But I think people are getting a bit tetchy.
They are.
Getting a little bit, you know, what's the word? On the one hand, you've got Kathy talking about community. And the other hand, you've got locals kind of lashing out.
That's right. And you know what? I reckon there are two types of people in this crisis. Mm. My heart gets warmed all the time by hearing from people who are somehow more connected with their neighbours, like your last, Kathy was saying.
Mm.
Some of my, type A-driven coaching clients are coming in and saying, you know what? I'm not taking my clients to the Grand Prix, not going to the footy. I'm kicking the footy, in the park with my kid, hanging out with my family. And if there are some people who are going through this being more and more connected with the people who really matter,
mm-hmm.
Having those vulnerable conversations, even on the Zoom calls at work, how are you going? How are you really going? There's that.
Mm.
But then there's, other people who are perhaps, binge watching Netflix. I saw that online alcohol orders are up 168%.
Oof.
So I guess there's that going on as well, And I guess at this crazy time, you can either stay connected with yourself and the people around you, or you can kind of disconnect, perhaps trying to escape the anxiety and just get deeply lost in Netflix and some other thing. And I think they're probably the people that are sending the snarky text.
Well, it's also interesting. I was thinking about a metaphor. It's like when people swear or say rude things from the confines of their car and they think that that's okay because they're in a bubble.
Or the comments on YouTube.
Yeah, or the comments on YouTube. They sort of don't take responsibility for it because there's some sort of barrier. But it's almost like emotionally we're in some kind of social traffic jam where no one can move forward.
Yeah, well, the more disconnected we are, I guess the more prone we are to behaviours like that, right?
Mm.
That's why social media and online communication is renowned for being a place where people sort of vent and say things that they'd never say face-to-face. And the moment you have that human-to-human interaction, then something shifts, most of the time anyway.
Richard Chambers is your guest, clinical psychologist, the man who is pivotal to the Smiling Mind meditation app. Is that the right way of describing it? Smiling Mind online meditation?
Yeah.
I've got a beautiful text message that says, this is so funny. I was just about to read it. After almost 65 years of marriage, it's fantastic to have this special time together, uninterrupted, joyful time with each other. And I've just looked at the number and it's, of course, my mother. But my dad hasn't sent the text. Mum sent the text. But some couples could be getting narky, Richard, because they're just not used to being in that close vicinity.
Inside, anxious and disconnected. I think that's the perfect storm that we find ourselves in, right? We're just trapped in the house. We're feeling a little bit anxious. We're a bit disconnected, like we were saying before, watching the Netflix and drinking and just avoiding the anxiety or avoiding what's there. And suddenly, Libby, we can't avoid what's there. All that stuff that's been unsaid and put under the carpet, well, there it is.
Right. So what do you do?
Well, there's the challenge, right? I mean, the first thing we need to do, I reckon, is to reconnect with ourselves. That's what I'm doing this weekend. It's a beautiful time. I've just taken time. I'm not at work. I'm not online, I'm not talking to anybody, and I'm doing it like an intense version of it, like a silent retreat. But taking any time at all to meditate, just to be quiet, to get out in the garden, go for a walk, but in a way that reconnects us with ourselves, I reckon that's the start of it, so that we can perhaps just get a little bit clear on what's actually going on for us and start to notice and maybe manage some of that anxiety.
Yep.
I reckon it starts there. The relationships we have with other people are so, it's really about the relationship we have with ourselves. But then, if we're stuck with someone inside and there's stuff coming up, we maybe want to notice if we're getting flooded Sean Gottman, the relationship therapist, talks about flooding, where we get, you know, amygdala hijacked or flooded with stress hormones. If our BPM, get this, if our BPM goes above 80, then nothing good comes out of that, but that conversation that we're having with the person. This is stuff that he's observed over 20, 30 years.
So you're saying your BPM, your heart rate?
Your heart rate, yeah. So if you start getting flustered and full of adrenaline, there's no real point in trying to resolve the issue. You want to go take some space, go and have a walk, go and sit down, go and calm down somehow, and then come back and try to resolve it.
Right.
But ultimately, I think we need to stop avoiding what's being avoided. This is an opportunity, I guess. You know, if it's in our face, what are we going to do? We're going to pretend it's not there? Are we going to keep arguing about it in the same old way that we've been doing for 10, 20 years? Or do we want to maybe try to clear it? Drop into the vulnerability. Like, what's this really about? What are the unmet needs? That's a filter that I like to run things through sometimes.
The unmet needs.
Yeah. If we're experiencing an unpleasant emotion, one or more of our basic human needs aren't being met. You know, things like support, connection, love, space, acknowledgement, validation. If we can get clear on that and start having conversations from that place, that's when we start to really shift things. I see that all the time in my own relationship, in my work with my clients. You know, you start to communicate from a place of needs, and that's a real place of vulnerability. And that's when you start, if you can start to hear each other's needs, that tends to take care of a lot of the conflict.
There's a great Netflix show, I've been told, from Brené Brown about vulnerability.
Yes. Yeah, she's just doing such a good job of waving the flag for vulnerability, making such a strong case for it. Definitely worth a watch. Netflix special.
Because now is probably not a good time to start considering the viability of your relationship.
Now the time for banding together and helping everybody get through this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I guess, you know, if there's conflict that's there that's just been avoided that can no longer be avoided, what's that about? You know, you might just want to at least tune into that, even if you don't talk it out and try to resolve it. Just go and sit quietly with that. What's this really about? What are my unmet needs? What am I actually feeling here?
Mm.
What's really going on here? You know, and I think that's, and again, there's an amazing opportunity for that. And we can miss the opportunity if we want to avoid it, because there are countless distractions. There are always things we can do to not go there. But if we're willing to go there, we might come out the other side of this a little more self-aware, perhaps even with a little bit more connection and intimacy in our relationships, like the ones that matter, whether it's with neighbours or the people that we live with.
And interestingly enough, the last 2 weeks have possibly had another layer upon them, in that the children have not been at school. So yeah, if you are in a family situation, it's just that little bit more demand upon your time and your attention.
Yes, of course. I mean, that's got to be hard for parents with kids and, you know, at home while they're trying to work or trying to do things, and the kids need the educating now. I mean, it's a really challenging time, isn't it? So I really feel for parents. But again, it's the same thing, I think. If we're starting to get triggered and caught up in some emotions, what do we need that we're missing? And it might be some downtime and some personal space, and we might not be able to get that necessarily. But at least being aware that that's what it is, I think that can start.
And if you're alone, Richard, I've focused this on couples and families, but just to finish, because I do have a couple of text messages from people who are actually alone and isolated.
Yep.
And possibly feeling incredibly despondent. And we know that Premier Dan Andrews said that a quarter of the calls to Lifeline have been in despondency and despair from this isolation.
Yeah.
What mental picture can we conjure in minds to give a sense of hope and optimism?
Yeah, look, I saw someone interviewed on the news maybe a week and a half ago. She said, you know, she lives alone in an apartment, and she used to love that because she'd have a busy day at work. She was an introvert. She'd go home. She'd have a little cocoon where she could kind of unwind. Now it's hell. She said she hadn't been hugged in like 3 weeks. And, you know, like, I think for a lot of people who live alone, we're really missing that just incidental social interaction.
Incidental social interaction. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. So look, we really need to get out. Go for a walk in the park. You've never seen so many people in the park, right? Everyone's outside. Stay a safe distance from them, but just smile and say hello. I mean, that's one way of having that social connection. You know, tune into who are the important people in my life. And if there are people, I mean, hopefully there are, then give them a call or jump on a Skype or a Zoom call or a FaceTime call with them and make time to really connect with people that you care about.
Go down to the shops if you're on a farm and stock up. but don't stock up too much so that you can go down to the shops again 2 days later. I mean, it's essential. Mental health is essential.
It's essential. And face-to-face human contact is essential. I think that's one of the big learnings in this time, that everything's gone online and a lot of people that I'm speaking to are noticing, hang on a sec, that's actually not enough. It's not enough. We need that just face-to-face human connection, even if it's from a safe distance with a stranger in the street walking the dog. That's the kind of thing that we need. So we really need to keep that in mind, that that's important, because we've forgotten that in our modern life, that we need that face-to-face interaction. But prioritise that, get out, make sure it happens. I think that's really important. That's what I'd be doing a lot of if I was living alone.
Richard, thank you for coming on The Wireless. I'm just going to pop a little call up and then I need to do a little recap of what Chief Medical Officer Brendan Murphy had to say. So I'll just thank you preemptively. Thanks, Rich.
Pleasure.
Richard, we'll do it again.
Yeah.
Let's get Glenda up. Hello, Glenda.
Hi, Libby.
Hello. Tell me your story.
Well, we were inside just making the bed because we had a late breakfast. My husband and I are in our 70s.
Yeah.
And Keep It Together, that one stop came on, and we know that one because it comes from way back. So we danced for the first time in, oh, I can't remember, so many years, and it was just a lovely thing.
Mm. You had a little dance to Love Will Keep Us Together.
We did. We danced around in the bedroom. So it was just nice. So I think what you're talking about is connectedness with people.
It is.
It is, yeah, because we're cooped up. We can't sort of get out and about because of our age. So, yeah, it was just lovely.
Well, yep.
I'm loving hearing stories like yours. I'm hearing so many of them, just little moments of just doing something that you might not have done in a long time and just remembering, hey, remember that time we used to dance? I really love hearing things like that.
Yep. Okay.
Thanks for sharing it. It's so important.
It is. It's really important, Glenda. So I'm going to play some more music whereby you can have a little dance and an exercise in the next hour. Richard Chambers, thank you once again for joining us. Richard Chambers is a clinical psychologist.